Beautiful singing today, as always. Isn't this praise and worship team doing just a magnificent job of yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit and letting Him direct the service? I thank you all so much for that. We love and appreciate you all and your investment in the kingdom of God by giving your talent. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me two places? First of all, I want to go to Matthew chapter 3. Beginning at verse 10, Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, and then the book of Malachi, which will be the last book in your Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 3. That's Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, and Malachi 3 and 3. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And incidentally, I want to say what an honor it is for the first time this morning to have with us in service Mr. and Mrs. Corey Burke. Amen. Good to have you all back from Hawaii. Yes, they look tanned and happy. And I was going to suggest as a prerequisite for doing their wedding that they take me along with them to Hawaii, but they wouldn't buy on it. So, but it's good to have you all home. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. These are the words of John the Baptist. And now also is the axe laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now if you'd go back with me to Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. And this is speaking of the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ, before he took on the form of man. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may not offer unto the Lord, or that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. And I want to speak for a few moments this morning on the subject of the preparation, the purging, and the purity. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for the presence of your Holy Spirit that's been here. Lord, where would we be? Did you not manifest your presence among us? We need that so. And Lord, I know you're working by the power of your Spirit upon all of us. In this last day, you're coming soon, Lord Jesus. And you're separating the wheat from the chaff in your kingdom. And Lord God, today I pray that you will spark in our hearts a greater desire to live holy and pure before you than we've ever known before. For Lord, as we're going to bring out what I believe the message you give to me is today, there will be no power without purity. And Lord God, we need you to purify us. We need to know the source of our purification. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do in us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, I was watching my old buddy, Dr. Phil, again the other day. That boy, I got your attention right out of the bat, didn't it? Got him on the edge of their seat already, man. And he had this gentleman on there, and it was a rerun. Which really, that's all Dr. Phil's really got is reruns. Incidentally, I just know that's really all he's got is reruns. It's him coming on with somebody who's messed up by the ravages of sin and him recommending they go to counseling. That's every Dr. Phil show. That's every secular show you're going to see because they're offering what man can do to change somebody's heart and life. And this poor person had a sexual addiction and was a minister. And of course, as always, Dr. Phil's answer was, we're going to get you counseling. And we're going to put you into a program that'll help you overcome this sexual addiction. And I thought about that as I was watching. I had to turn it off because at the same time when I hear stuff like that, it both breaks my heart and angers me to an unconscionable degree. Because here's this person. Let me ask you something. How do you counsel away sin? In effect, I mean, the symptom. The symptom is the sexual addiction. The symptom is the drinking. The symptom is the aberrant behavior. It's not the problem, though. It's a symptom of the real problem. And in effect, when you try to send someone to counseling to help them out, you're in effect saying your sin can be counseled away. You see, the church doesn't see it that way. Oh, getting awful quiet in here this morning. Must be hitting pay dirt with a few. You cannot counsel sin away. Mankind needs a change of heart and spirit. And listen closely to what I'm about to say. And the desire to make that change will not bring about that change. You can want to quit drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, any aberrant sinful behavior. You can desire with all of your soul and being to want to quit it. But there's nothing noble in that, and mankind thinks there is. Well, I'm trying to quit. And then mankind will employ methodologies like Dr. Phil offers up to attempt to counsel that sin away. It can't be done. It can't be done. I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to press this point and press it hard right now. Man cannot change his own life. It's impossible. And you might think, well, let me say it this way. There are certain areas in a human being's life where possibly, and sometimes does occur, that they can overcome one area of sin. Now listen closely to what I'm saying. But when this book declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's like if you overcome just one area, it's like being in a lifeboat, let's say, a wooden boat, the proverbial wooden boat. And as quickly as you get one hole plugged, you find out there's three more springing up. The point being is, the problem is the sin nature. And you may overcome it. You may have enough willpower, a person might, in one area. But as quickly as they get that one area covered, bing, they're going to find out there's three more popping up. And the desire to change that in and of itself is not noble. It doesn't bring anything good to mankind or to mankind's credit. And it exacerbates the problem and makes it worse when mankind tries to solve that problem outside of the Word of God. The problem is sin, and man cannot transform himself. That's the problem that humanity faces in trying to change. And I've talked to so many people, so many, in the course of my ministry. They'll come in sorrowful, contrite, brokenhearted over what's plaguing their life. And they're wanting you to tell them something like some kind of psychobabble, like, it's okay. Or, you're trying, that's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. Why? Because what Jesus Christ did on the cross is totally sufficient to overcome the power of sin. And what He did on that cross is the only thing that can overcome the power of sin. You can't counsel sin away. You can't pretty it up in any way and whitewash it in any way. The only way to face a sin problem and to overcome it is to place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and He'll provide the power then to make that transformation. Until an individual does that, there's no hope for them. They are condemned to repeating sinful behavior over and over and over again. That's what makes me so mad when I hear some idiot like Dr. Phil tell them, go to counseling. Go to counseling. Okay, go to counseling. And I'm not mocking the man. I'll be honest with you, I believe he sincerely wants to help people out. But what he's offering is a false gospel and a false way, and it's not going to help them out. And I know what I'm talking about. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in what he did on that cross. There's power to transform, power to change, power to heal. And it's the only source through which that can happen through. And you tell people that, and they don't like that. That's the rub with the cross of Jesus Christ. Because that better be God. Well, it's bad when the pastor's wife won't turn off her cell phone. Eh? Well, what are you doing? Well, it is the Lord then. Let me see what message he's sending. He might be wanting to change things right now in the direction I'm going. And here you sit withholding it from me. Lord help us. But anyway, let's get back if we can. Mankind cannot change himself. And it can't be counseled away. That's why I become so angry at somebody like Dr. Phil, who I believe is trying to help somebody out. But what he's offering is no help. He's addressing the symptom and not the issue. And you tell people about that. And you know what they don't like? Here's why people don't come and bring, by and large, in every case, here's why they won't come to Christ. Because they've got to take responsibility for their behavior. They've got to admit. They've got to admit, I'm a sinner. Now, that's bad in and of itself for a human to have to admit that I'm a sinner. But then comes the second part. I can't help myself. And nobody else can help me except Jesus Christ. See, it's pride. Pride, sin is rooted in pride. All sin, whatever kind it is. It's rooted in pride. It's rooted in mankind thinking, I can beat it. I can overcome it. I can change myself, or I can find me another human being that will do something for me, give me a pill. Oh my, that's why so many people are on pills today. For sin problems. For sin problems. And they don't go away. And usually the solution, as you watch the TV commercials for all these various kinds of drugs, is take more drugs. If one don't work, we're going to give you some more. You see, there's a tear in our spirits when we come into this world. We come in separated from God. We're born with that sin nature. And we can't change ourselves. And the text we read this morning, and man, I got to be honest with you, I hadn't intended to go this way in the message, but it's the way the Holy Spirit's leading me, what I've just addressed the past few moments. But when John the Baptist came preaching, and first let me go here. I'm getting ahead of myself. See what your phone call did? I hope you're happy. I've got a real comfortable couch, by the way, that I'll be sleeping on tonight. So nobody worry about Pastor Greg. It's big, it's roomy, I'll be fine on it. At the turn of the century, when they were having the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Los Angeles, it was chronicled by a man named Frank Bartleman, who wrote down and was really the chronicler of that revival. He wrote down a lot of the great moves of God that came out of that revival and affects the Pentecostal world even to this moment in time. But one of the messages that came forth from the Holy Spirit during one of those services was simply this. The Holy Spirit told that congregation, "You're desiring my power, but not my purity." I want you to think of that for a moment. He said, after that message came forth, one of the minister in charge of the service. Now think of this. This shows you man's depraved and fallen nature. Even amongst believers, if we don't believe right, if we have our focus wrong. He said, I want everybody who wants power to line up on my left. And he said, I want everybody who wants purity to line up over here on my right. And Frank Bartleman chronicled that 10-1 after that message was given, people lined up on the power side. And at that moment in time, another message came forth from the Holy Spirit. And it said that in the last days, just prior to the rapture of the church, that there would be an overemphasis on the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit rather than on the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want you to think of that for a moment. It's coming to this. I got to hurry along. The Lord's doing a work in this church right now. He's doing a work in my life. He's purifying us. He's preparing us first. And in that preparation comes a purification. And we can't desire, and I don't believe anybody does. It made me joyous as I felt the Lord was pouring this through me this week. I believe this church has its focus right and its faith right on Christ and what He did at the cross. And I believe that everybody in this congregation is seeking Jesus, not for what He can do, but for who He is. Praise God. That's what He's preparing us for. But John the Baptist preached that this one coming, he said, who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he said his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner. God's preparing us. And there's never been a preparation, if you read your Bible. Let me say it this way. The first thing God does when He calls somebody to do something, or wants somebody or a group of people to do something in His kingdom, He will give them a clear and unmistakable call of what they're to do. He'll make it plain. When He called Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldees, He said, Abraham, I'm calling you out, and I'm going to make a great mighty nation out of you. He gave him a clear picture of what he was, of what he wanted to do in his life. But then began the preparation process. The call is glorious. The preparation is violent. Because why is that? Why? Because God has got to shake away all trust in our human ability to bring about what He said He's going to do. Abraham, as you'll recall, when God said He'd make a great mighty nation out of him, he was 80-some years old at the time. And he laughed. He said, Lord, Sarah laughed when she heard it too. He said, Lord, how can I, a man 80 years old, how is that going to happen? That you're going to make a great mighty nation out of me? In other words, he's saying, I don't mean to be off color, but he's saying, Lord, Viagra hasn't been invented yet. And I'm 80 years old. How is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And God had to take Abraham through a preparation process that was violent. Because Abraham thought, like most people think, I can do this. I can bring it about. And I'm going to help God out. And sure enough, him and Sarah both thought that. And what happened? Sarah brings in Hagar, her handmaiden, to him. Says, through Hagar, this promise is going to come. And somehow, through force of will, going back to what I was talking about at the start of the message, Abraham has a child with Hagar. Now think of that. But it wasn't God's way because it didn't involve God's supernatural power. And Abraham had to go through a violent shaking in his life, going through all kinds of trouble to spiritually and emotionally cripple him to the point where he had to, and this is where God's got to bring us all to. This is the preparation. To where it's come to the point where we realize, God, what you promised me, it's never going to happen because I can't bring it about. Watch this. Watch this now. Has God made you a specific promise He's going to do for you and in your life? And you've tried to help the process along, thinking, oh, if I do this, surely this is what God meant. And it's brought you nothing but heartache. And it's brought you nothing but failure. And it's brought you nothing but defeat. God is preparing you Just like he's prepared every Bible great, this process has been repeated over and over again. God gave you the promise, but he alone is going to bring it about. He alone by his power is going to bring it about. And he has to shake us and put us through the fire to burn up all trust in anything other than him. It's a good thing to be totally dependent upon God. In this world, it's okay to be self-reliant in the world system. But when it comes to dealing with God, we are to be totally dependent upon him. And don't fear and don't be dismayed. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you today, you're in the preparation. And God is destroying by fire, by hard situations, all of your trust in anything but him. And there came that day for Abraham and Sarah when Abraham realized, I can't do it. And I've sinned by going after Hagar and having a child with her. And Sarah realizes, I'm giving a synopsis of it. Most of you know the story. Sarah realizes, I can't have a baby. I'm over 90 years old. How can I have a baby? But God had promised him. And when the shaking was done, when they'd been baptized by fire, and that fire had burned up all trust in human ability to bring them joy, to bring them peace, to bring them happiness, to bring them the promise of Almighty God. Late one night, Abraham and Sarah are laying in their tent. After admitting, we can't do it, Lord. I don't know how it's ever going to happen, but Lord, we can't do it. And the Lord says, I've been waiting for you to get here for a long time. Because now I'll show you how I'll bring it to pass through you. And all of a sudden, again, not to be off color, Abraham's eyes fly open in the middle of the night. And he looks over at Sarah and she looks back at him. And Isaac is born, the son of promise, the one that God brought forth supernaturally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's preparing you and he's preparing this church right now to be a voice. I've wondered at times and I've laid on my face before God. God has promised me from the time we started this church that this church was going to be a voice for a pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I took that to mean that God was going to use us, and in a few short months, man, we'd just be packed out of here. We'd be in a new building, and we'd just be the church around town. Hallelujah. It ain't happened that way. And the Lord showed me something just this week. He said, I've been preparing you. I've been preparing the church. That's the reason for all the shaking. That's the reason for all the turmoil. And he said, oh, I'm going to use me here. He said, the trouble is that you've had your faith in me, Greg, to do this. But you've been trying to bring it about yourself. Man, and I broke before him. And because I knew he was right. I knew he was right. And I said, oh, God. And it made me feel good in another way. Because I laid down. He destroyed all confidence in my flesh this week. And I said, Lord, thank you for shaking me one more time to get my attention. Thank you for rattling my cage, so to speak, to get my attention, to show me that it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your Spirit this thing's going to get done. And my job is not to try and figure out how you're going to do it. It's just to keep on believing you and confess you got to be the one to do it. And we're going to keep on preaching the truth. We're going to keep on holding up Christ and him crucified as the answer. And I know somehow, some way, Lord, you're going to help us get this message out to thousands of people. Hallelujah. Because there's thousands that need it. They're out there dying. They're turning to Dr. Phil, who's got no hope for them. They're turning to counselors who can't help them. And somehow, some way, God is going to raise us up to tell them there is an answer. And that answer is Christ and him crucified. It's the only answer. Praise God. Praise God. I have thought at times, Lord, we are such a small church. Why do we go through so much shaking and so much turmoil? My, why? Let me tell you this. God's been preparing us. And I don't know about you, and I believe probably you're bearing witness with this. Hasn't He destroyed all confidence in your flesh? With all we've been through as a body and as individuals the last 3 or 4 years? I know He has in me. And He reminded me this week how much further I had to go. But it's that submission. It's that submission to say, Lord, You're right. I can't do it. I'm going to quit trying. I'm going to quit worrying about preparing fancy sermons. I'm going to study Your Word and let You speak to my heart. And I'm going to preach what You tell me to preach. And I'm going to leave it all up to You and Your Holy Spirit. Because He's the greatest evangelist there is. He's the greatest source of communicating the gospel there is. He's better than NBC, CNN, ABC, and the CIA, and whoever, whatever other acronym you want to throw in there. He can do it. We've got to trust Him alone. We've got to trust Him alone. But now, secondly, and I've got to move on. In Malachi 3:3, and I may not get through all this today. In Malachi 3:3, speaking of this coming Redeemer, Malachi said, He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The Holy Spirit told me to put this across this morning, nothing else. There'll be no real power of God unless we seek first His purity. I want you to think of that. His purity. That means seeking Him for Himself. Seeking Him as our sin cleanser. It said He'll sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And John said He'd baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. And many of you might have heard this story before, but I'll begin to close on this. I'm going to have to finish this message next week. What the Bible means when it said He, speaking of Christ, the coming Redeemer, shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The smelters, when the gold and the silver is initially brought in, it's full of all kinds of impurities. All kinds. Gold in its natural state is really not very pretty at all. And so to refine it and to make it pure, they bring it into a smelting furnace. They did in biblical days. And they take that gold and silver and they put it under intense heat. And the refiner's fire, the refiner, as he puts it in the oven, it would have a little cutout hole, window, if you will, on it. And an expert smelter knows just how much heat to put on that gold as the impurities are burning off of. He knows exactly how much heat to put on so as not to damage the purity of that gold or silver. How much heat exactly to turn it up to get all of what's called the dross, the impurities, out of it. And he knows when the process is completed, because when he looks in that oven to the silver or the gold, when he's got it at perfect, pure perfection, he'll see his own reflection in the metal. Think of that. When God prepares us and we submit to being purified by Him, it's not initially always the pretty, pleasant process we think it ought to be. Because He's going to put us under fire. That's what John was talking about. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The greatest thing that can happen to a human is when the Holy Spirit fills our heart and lives. When we're saved. When we're washed in the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence on the inside of us mere mortal humans. That's mind-boggling to me. I've never gotten over the glory of that. It chokes me up talking about it. To think that the very power that spoke these planets into being indwells us. Sinners, praise God. How pure, how great the blood of Jesus has to be for something like that to happen, to cover our sin and to take it away. He puts you under intense heat. And he's sitting as the refiner, and he knows exactly how much heat to allow into our lives to burn up that dross, to burn up that junk. And you know what he's burning away? Self. Self. Self-reliance. Self-dependence. And he loves us enough as he's purifying us. And he's watching closely. And he won't put too much heat on, because he knows too much heat would destroy. Too much fire would destroy. But Jesus is the expert refiner. And he wants us today to submit ourselves wholly to his purification process. That's what this message is all about. His purifying power. Have you been shaken lately? Has it seemed like your whole world's falling apart? Let me ask you this. Is your faith in Jesus? The devil's been telling you, because I know it's what he does to everybody. See, the servant God don't do you no good. Look at all the trouble that's going on. Get away from it. Go out and get you a Jack Daniels. Go out and do a snort of Coke. That'll make you feel better. Go out and cheat on your wife. You need some pleasure. You need some fun. That's what you need. No. If that's going on in your life, you're just under the master smelter's care. And if you keep your faith in him, he's not going to destroy you. He's burning up dross. And the only way for him to do it is to turn up the heat, to drive us to him, to make us realize, like Abraham and Sarah and every Bible great ever has, I can't change my life, Lord. I'm helpless. I need you, Jesus. And I submit myself wholly and completely to your lordship. And I trust what you're doing in my life, because I'm your child. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus and your faith is in him, you are God's child. You are God's child. You say, but Pastor, you don't know. I don't care what you did this week. I don't care what you did last month. I love it. I love the grace of God, because it's predicated upon faith, not performance. It's on faith, not performance. If at the end of the day, I don't care what you've done. If you're like, Lord, I'm sorry, my faith is still in your shed blood. You are his child. He will not forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that gives joy to your heart, don't it? Aren't you? Jesus is so much better than Dr. Phil. Amen. Dr. Phil's just one crazy man trying to help other crazy people out. It can't be done. He's one sinner trying to set another sinner free. It can't be done. It takes a greater power. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is that power. And what he did on the cross is the means through which that power is meted out. And it's the only way. But if you've been in his fire, and sometimes it ain't pleasant. Because, man, when you're in the fire, you know one of the ways you know you're in the fire? He's going to point out things about you that you don't like, that make you go, oh, Lord, am I really that way? It's unpleasant. But then when you say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm that way, change me. You know what happens? The master smelter starts seeing his image then. He's like, okay. This process is working. And once he's prepared us, and once he's purified us, he'll give us his power then. I've set my heart this week, and I've got a long way to go. But I said, Lord, I want you to purify me, and I want to be pure before you. And I know even that purification cannot be brought about with any effort of mine. It can only be done by faith. It can only be done by faith. We can't purify our own lives. It's impossible. Can't be done. It can only be done by faith. And that faith must hold the correct object, Christ and him crucified. And if you put your faith in that, the Holy Spirit will fill your life and change will come. You know, as I was in prayer yesterday afternoon, I got to spend some time alone with the Lord for a long time yesterday. And I started just reflecting back over the past year or so. And there were two things in my life that I knew were wrong. I got everybody's attention. Everybody's, ooh, what's Pastor into? Can I tell you something? Don't worry about me. Worry about your own plate. It's full enough. Amen. It don't matter what it was. You don't need to know. It's between me and the Lord. But I look back and I realize that those things and those behaviors had just fallen out of my life. I realized how long it had been since I had fought a battle of temptation with either one of them. Now, before you get to thinking, ooh, Pastor Greg's really holy, I've got other battles now I'm facing. It's called sanctification, okay? It's called sanctification, the sanctification process, being set apart. It's active. It's going to go on till we're called home to glory. We're never going to be perfected in this life, but the Holy Spirit is always going to be working on us to perfect us. And I realized, and I thought, my Lord, I've got a long way to go, Lord, but as I look back, I see the changes you made by your power. Now, what? And I began to shout. Well, I'll tell you where I was at. I was in the Kings Island parking lot. They must have thought, man, what ride did this guy get on? Hey, you people knocking on the window. Hey, what was so exciting? What ride made you so happy? Why? I had to drop Austin and his friend off there and let them ride, it being the last day of summer. But I took it. That's what I do. I've done it about 3 times this summer. And I just take my Bible and I sit and pray and seek God. It's a real quiet time. I can go sit out under a tree. And in all honesty, that's I was in that parking lot there right by the McDonald's. It sits right down the way there from Kings Island. And when I realized that, I just threw both hands up. And I began to praise him and thank him for what he'd done for me on the cross and for sending me that message and for how it was working in my life. And I admitted to him, Lord, there's still other things that I want you to take out of me. Greg Browning's got a long way to go. I want you to take these wrong ways out of me, Lord. And I'm going to keep trusting you to do it. I want you to keep purifying me, Lord. And I told him this, and I pray that this message was born out of this experience. I pray this morning, I believe it's something the Holy Spirit wants us all to do, is that we'll seek Him for purity. Nothing else, not gifts of the Spirit, those will come. If we'll allow Him to purify us, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. When we're seeking His purity, we're seeking the kingdom. And He said, everything else will just come. It'll be there if you'll seek me to do purification in you and to continually purify you. And church, in this last days, there is a shaking that is going on now by God in this world. And there is a shaking that is going on in the ecumenical world. And there is a shaking that's going on in the true church. The true church. You say, Pastor, why you put it that way? Because I'm going to tell you this right now, by biblical definition. This is not Greg Browning's definition. If that church is not preaching Christ and Him crucified, and they're not holding up Jesus Christ as the exclusive answer to change, to heal, and deliver, they're not a church. They're a social club. They're a psychobabble community. You might as well watch Dr. Phil and stay home on Sunday morning. Sleep in and watch Dr. Phil. If they're not preaching to you Christ and Him crucified as the answer and as the only power to overcome sin, because they're not doing you no good. It may make you feel good to attend it. It may make you think, oh, isn't it a nice little fellowship? Nice little fellowships don't deliver from sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ delivers from sin. And they're not a church if they're not preaching that. I don't care how big their building. I don't care how great their membership role. I don't care how high their Sunday morning tithe. A church preaches Christ and Him crucified. That's the central theme of this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There is nothing else. and to hold up a program. I know people are well-meaning. You may think I'm closed-minded and I'm not enlightened enough. I really don't care, because I'm interested in pleasing Him. I'm interested in preaching what He said, because what He said will deliver. What He said will bring cleansing. What He said will bring purification. And what Rick Warren and AA offer up will not bring deliverance. They will not bring cleansing. They will not bring victory over sin. No matter how well-meaning and how intellectually constructed it is, if it's not Christ and Him crucified, it's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help anybody. And that's the dross and the purification that the Lord is taking His church through right now. He wants it totally dependent on Him. He wants it totally dependent on Him. That's the pure faith that He wants in us, that He wants in His church. And He's going to shake every church going that's His. He's going to shake the ecumenical world. And I say ecumenical because there's a big difference between relationship to Jesus Christ and religion. Most churches specialize in religion, which is man's practice and man's way to reach God. There's only one way to get to God. Jesus said, and I've got to close on this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's the purity He wants in His church. That's the purity He wants in us. A total dependence upon Him for everything. And you know what? That's a good position to be in. We're going to finish this next week. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, do a work in us today. Do a work in us, Lord. And I know the work will need to continue even after today. I'm not advocating or trying to teach that what will happen today will be an end-all, catch-all, once and for all time. But Lord, I am saying, I believe this is a marked spiritual moment where we submit ourselves completely to Your purification. Heavenly Father, we need continually changed. Two things I believe the Holy Spirit's leading me to do at this altar call. Would everyone please stand? And if you would, I feel Him leading me to do this. Would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Just come reverently and as you stand here in His presence, at His altar, and there's nothing special about this area down here in front. It's an altar because we're focused on Jesus, our high priest. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to ask you to do this first. I want you to reflect back over your life over the last year. I want you to think about things that at the beginning of the year, you knew that the Lord needed to deal with in your life. And if you've kept your faith in Him over the course of the year, you're going to be able to look back and see where some things just fell away. Some behaviors, attitudes, or even actions that you had at the start of the year, they're gone now. Why? Because you merely abided and kept your faith in Him. And He moved in you and through you to remove them. Think about that for a moment. There should be a great sense of joy flooding your soul right now, because you're seeing and you're thinking, wow, Lord, You've really done a work in my life. You see, the enemy doesn't want us focused on this, because it increases our faith. Because you know what He's doing right now? I guarantee it. As you're thinking back over the great things that God's done in your life over this last year, He's reminding you right now, trying to, of everything that's wrong. Right now. Don't believe that. But here's number two to this altar call. The Lord does want us to submit ourselves further, I believe today, to allow Him to purify us in His sight. And to trust the fire that He may have us going through right now. If we're His child, He's in control of that fire. He's sitting there watching the heat of it. He knows exactly how much heat to turn up and how much heat to turn down to get the result He wants. And what He's looking for is to see His image in you. Just like what Malachi 3:3 said, He shall sit as a refiner of silver. Praise God. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit's telling me, I believe, to tell you this right now. He's not going to give up on you. He has invested His Holy Spirit and the very lifeblood of His Son in you. Do you think He's going to quit on you? Because maybe you failed this week? No, He won't. Oh, I feel a deep, deep move of the Holy Ghost going on right now. He wants us to submit to His purity, though. He wants us to seek Him for the purity that He can provide. The Bible says He can make a perfect heart. He can. He alone can. Hallelujah. And as we stand here these last few minutes of the service, if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart with this message today about Him making us pure and allowing Him, submitting to His Lordship, to seek Him first for His purity, not for what He can do, but just for who He is, our Savior, our Redeemer, our coming King. Seek Him right now for that purity. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You, and Lord, in and of ourselves, we are so impure. We have so many wrong attitudes, wrong actions, wrong thoughts. Lord, but we praise You and thank You that for the power of what You did on the cross and our faith in it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Not some, all. Hallelujah. And Lord, we want more of You in our lives, not for what You can do. We want more of You in this church, not for what You can do, but for who You are. You told Abraham, Lord Jesus, after You had made him one of the wealthiest men in the world and possibly the wealthiest, materially, You told him, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. Lord, the greatest thing You will ever give us is You. The greatest thing we'll ever receive from You is You, a greater revelation of You. And Lord, do that work in our hearts and lives today. Do that work in this church. Lord, we don't trust in flesh for Your promise to be fulfilled. We trust in the power of Your Spirit to get it done. We trust in Your supernatural movement to get it done. And Lord, I don't know how, but it's going to happen. But first, You want to do this great work in us to where we seek You only for purity. Only for purity. Don't you feel Him working mightily in your heart right now? The reason it's being this is, we've got a pure motive this morning in what's going on, and the Holy Spirit's honoring that. I sense it. I sense He's touched your hearts with this message today, albeit it was delivered very haphazardly, not very eloquently. But thank God it doesn't take that. It's in His movement and His operation and His power to change us. Lord, I pray this will be a life-changing service today, one we'll never forget, one that will be indelibly inscribed upon our spirits, that we seek You for purity. We seek You for purity. We seek You for who You are. And Lord, in Your grace and in Your mercy, we know You'll give us everything else. We won't even have to ask. It'll just be there. Lord, move mightily. I sense You doing it. Purify us, Lord. Burn up the dross where there's any trust or confidence at all in what we can do. Burn it up. Because, Lord, the greatest thing You can give us is You. The greatest asset and gift we will ever know is that You are sufficient when we're totally dependent upon You. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and praise him now this morning. Lord, I thank you for what I believe has been a deep and abiding move of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. Lord, purify us. Purify us, Lord. And we give you all praise, honor, and glory, realizing we can't purify ourselves. It's all in you, Lord Jesus. It's all in you. Lord, we can't change ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. We come to the foot of the cross as helpless babes, looking to the one who has all power and all authority. And we thank you for the changes that have been made, Lord Jesus, but there's more we need. We're going to continue to keep our faith and trust in you and submit to your lordship and to your purification process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to conclude that next week. You got about half of it this morning. So I'm going to conclude it next week. Now, thank you for being in God's house today. And again, Corey and Abby, good to have you home, back from your honeymoon. And I got to say, that was one of the, I believe it was the most beautiful wedding I was ever associated with. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. Harry, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?